I'm going to shuffle back between some notes and back and forth, and we'll kind of do a little magician act here and make this happen, hopefully. And I'm going to begin. As I mentioned, we're going to look at this study on joy and rejoicing. And generally, when I start looking at anything, this was for me personally, but I'm going to share some of the things that I felt were of value. So I generally take and immediately start looking at the Greek and the Hebrew words and so forth. Well, this one, you know, there's over 300 words approximately for the word joy and rejoicing in the King James Bible. It's interesting. We can say that we've looked on in a lexicon or something for something, but it, you know, if you're that same word's not going to show up in one of the many versions of Bibles we have. So I want to make it clear that these words would show up in a companion Bible, but King James Bible. Today is January 1st. Let me remember that, 2023. So let me ask a few questions here. I'm going to be going back and forth, so bear with me. I'm going to kind of take my time. So my first question, I'll ask a couple of questions here. What's the first occasion of that we find joy in the scriptures?
Is it Job?
Job 38:7. That's in Job 38:7, if I've written this down correctly. And if not, we'll see. So, Job 38:7. Good. Okay. Let's start back in let's start at the beginning of chapter 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" They could be saying that to me a lot. "Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." So from creation, the very creation, we have the Lord, or the angels even singing and rejoicing in something. And that's significant, I think, in a sense, as you go throughout the scriptures and find many places that it'll speak about the same. It's just the thought of the Creator, who happens to be the Lord Jesus Christ, had control of all of that. And so they shouted for joy, and obviously we can rejoice in that. We'll find that many times, most of the times in the script, it appears to me, is that the word joy will be used of someone. But we'll find out it's the people who are surrounding, seeing what is going on. For instance, someone who might be suffering for Christ's sake, and they have joy as a result of it. Those who know that person, those who are close to that person, get to share in that joy and rejoicing. So when I think of the Apostle Paul, of all people, of what he was confronted with. Give me just one second here. If you think about him, he was his whole life, and just tracking him through scripture, the responsibility that he had two callings he had to deal with: bonds, imprisonment. He was, there's a long list of things in Corinthians that tells us what he went through, the trials and so forth. So, and when you think about that, you know, speaking from the flesh, I would say, well, here's one guy that has the right to not be joyous all the time. When what he went through, no way could I handle what he did. And, but we find through the scriptures that the Lord is the one who is going to be responsible for that joy that a person can have. So part of what we're going to look at today will have to do with that very issue of our rejoicing in times that are difficult and so forth. And we certainly thank the Lord for that. Let me ask you another question here. And if I've got it here. So there's 9 words in Galatians 5:22 that describe the fruit of the Spirit. What is the second word of the fruit of the Spirit? Well, let's read Galatians 5:22 real quickly. Okay. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And that joy pretty much relates to each of the other 8. So if you're functioning with those other 8 words there, that word joy is associated with that, whatever those things may be. So we're looking at a few obvious things here. Let me ask the question. Well, so if Paul wrote what 14 epistles, 14 letters, of those letters, which one do you think he would speak mostly of joy and rejoicing? Anybody have a thought on that one? You can speak to.
I already did speak.
Oh, you didn't say it. Okay. Anyway, it's the word. It's Philippians. So what I did, because of these almost 300 words that I found in Scripture that I was not going to go through and look at every single one and what was involved in it, I decided I would take the book of Philippians. So Paul uses the word joy 6 times, I believe it is, and 12 times he uses the word rejoicing. Once again, I'm not dealing with the Greek and the Hebrew for the sake of time and for the sake of the fact that this is something that's more devotional than doctrinal. And so what we'll do here is let's take a look. Let's begin in Philippians, the beginning of the book of Philippians. And I think I'm going to keep this short this morning, and I will probably stop almost halfway in this, or maybe I won't put the intensity. But as long as I can speak, I will. I'll try to get this lesson out. So let's turn to Philippians chapter 1, and hopefully I'll remember this because I got notes all over the place, but I was not prepared to sit here on a couch and do this in my lap. So here we go. Verse 2 in Philippians chapter 1. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So, I would ask the question for myself, and of course for anybody else who wants to think about it, is in every prayer of mine, of my good friends in Christ, am I like the Apostle Paul here and request with joy? There's a lot of things that can interrupt our lives daily. And when we think about prayer, oh yeah, I gotta pray. Please bless thank you. And that's about it. And here Paul And of course, Paul had some time. He was prisoner at this time. And his prayer was to request, was to do so with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel for the first day until now. I think the word gospel here, I forget how many times it shows up in the book of Philippians, but there's a question mark as to which gospel is this? And immediately we say, well, this is definitely what we read of in Ephesians, and I'm not going to expound on this today, but you can see why this gospel goes back some period of time. And if you look at each one of these usages of it, I think you'll see toward the end of the chapter or the end of the book something that's same idea. So it's something to consider. But this his joy was in the fact of their fellowship, the union that they had, the unity that they had in the gospel from the first day until now. Regardless of which good news it was, it's good news. And they shared that. And it was, and this was something Paul shared. I wonder how much I'm talking about myself, and I'm embarrassed to say so. And that is, how much time do I spend on my fellow brethren in Christ who have this wonderful hope and truth? And so there is something, just the mere fact about this particular subject gives us, we should have joy with our daily relationship, not only with the Lord, but with others whom we are unified with. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So there's the first usage of joy in Philippians. And let's look a little bit further here and go to, and it's right here. Hang on here, folks. Let's see where we're at here. So that was 1, 4, 5, and 6. Let's look at 1:18. We're going to start with verse 12 here. He said, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Well, what things had been happening to Paul? Well, this, I believe he's speaking of his imprisonment. And that's what had fallen out. And he says, but you know what? This is for the furtherance of the gospel. And that one makes me think that that word gospel there definitely has something to do with the other epistles that Paul wrote after the end of the book of Acts. He says, so that my bonds in Christ Jesus, in Christ are manifest in all the palace, in all other places. My bonds. Poor old Paul. We don't know how good we have it with the liberty we have in this country to have the freedom to do what we do and what we're doing even now. And so, and many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds. So here's where we're going to find that there's some joy, and we're going to find out that it's being shared and other people are being put in a position so that they can enjoy rejoicing, so we say. And many of the brethren of the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So there was a lot going on. There was fear with the fact that this man was imprisoned, had the there was the possibility of losing his life, possibly. And here he was trying to spread the word, and this probably wasn't that exciting for people to hear that, hey, I'm going to believe this stuff, but I may have to lose my life for it. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Here's a double rejoice. Christ is preached. Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. This man was focused. And therefore, as a result, in spite of what he was going through, he can say, I do, therein I do rejoice, and yea, will rejoice. What an attitude. He said, I rejoice, but yea, I will rejoice. I'm going to take advantage of this rejoicing thing. So, we might say he gets a double whammy here. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to turn you to another passage in Job chapter 13 and verse 16. So this Paul was in prison, and somehow either he had a really good memory or somehow he got hold of some scriptures, and one of them was the book of Job. And I wouldn't doubt, I mean, think about his position, what he's been through during the Acts period. Now it's beginning, in some respects, getting worse after the Acts period. And where would you go in the scriptures to find somebody in a certain similar circumstance? A lot of what he's wrestling with has to do with Satan. Well, that's obviously the book of Job. That's all about Satan and what he did. And here's Job, and what he's going through. And Paul has to look at this, or looked at this for his own benefit, to see how he was to handle the things that he was dealing with at that time. But in Job chapter, 13, verse what? Verse 16 is one. I'm going to back up verse 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation. For an hypocrite shall not come before him. Hear the words, shall be my salvation. If you look at it in the Septuagint version, in the Greek, and let's go back to Philippians. Where did we just read? Verse 19. For I know this shall turn to my salvation. What does Job say? He says, he also shall be my salvation. Actually, it's word for word in the Septuagint. I think most of that right there is word for word. So Paul had been looking and gleaning other scripture while he was doing this. And this, he says, will turn to his salvation. Now we look at that and we say, well, he's probably talking to Paul, he's probably talking here about the fact that he was in prison, and with the hopes and desire, and he even says so in this book, of being released. So that word salvation there could be referring to that. This is a very deep and tough passage of scripture here, because it gets into, well, let's read a few more verses here. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I wot not. So we could spend the next 2 or 3 days now going through these scriptures and trying to understand what salvation this is. I will only do this for today because of the lack of time and lack of knowledge. And that is, the word salvation occurs 3 times here. Now I'm doing this from not from notes, but from memory, which is not the greatest at this moment. But first of all, what did we just read here about Paul? He says, I know this will turn to whose salvation? My salvation. So here is the salvation that Paul is talking about that was his salvation. It's not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. This is salvation. If we look at this, the whole message of Philippians, in particular chapter 3, which let's read a few verses here, verse 10 of chapter 3, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. This is, let's read on. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So, and if we read a little bit more. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even unto you. And we read on a little bit more about, a little bit further here. I'm sorry. I don't have this in front of, I have the right passage in front of me here. It speaks about the word perdition, which has to do with waste. He's talking to these people, and he just, remember what we just read in Philippians chapter 1 and about what they, those people were going through, or what Paul was going through, and so forth. And he was speaking specifically to these believing Philippian brethren. And now the whole central part of Philippians is about the prize of the high calling. So there's two things we've got here. One is a prize, and the other is waste and loss. There's not anything in between. You're either going to get the prize, or you're going to waste it and not receive the prize. Nothing in between I can find here in these words. So think of that as we look at this passage back in chapter 1. And I don't want to go too far with this. But number one, he speaks of his salvation. His salvation is associated with this idea of a prize. That salvation is associated with a prize. It's not his salvation of the day that he was saved, but rather it's associated with this one issue. And so let's read a little bit further, and I don't know if I've got it written down here in front of me. But we have the word salvation appear here, and somebody speak up real quick if you see it. I believe it's in 26 26 on. That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Here he is, prodding them on, and in nothing terrified. Now whose salvation is this? And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of waste, but to you of salvation and that of God. Whose salvation is this? We just read about Paul's salvation. Now this is their salvation. And the issue here has to do with wasting your life or giving it all to Christ and gaining from that. So I'm not going to, this will be a nice one study time at least, one time we can sit down and talk about this maybe in the future. But I think there's a lot involved here because this salvation is, Paul speaks of what living to death, to live is Christ and to die is gain, and so forth. So this needs a lot more time and so forth in looking at these particular things. What I'm going to do is just really run through quickly some more of these that we would see here. Let me read a couple of passages out of the scripture that I've got written down here for a reason, and I don't know why, but we'll see in a moment. Jeremiah 15:16. Okay, he says, let's see if we need to back up a bit. Let's start at verse 15. Taking this out of context, but O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Thy words, my word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Isn't this true of everything in this book that brings joy? It's from the word. So this word, we've got to have it. Not only in our hands at all times, but in our heart at all times. So certainly any time we open up this book, we have that opportunity. Let's look at Psalms 119:162. Is that possible? That doesn't sound like it's got that many.
Probably.
Or is it 16? No, it's 162. What does it say? I rejoice in thy word as one that findeth great spoil. So I guess these were written just as the fact that the scriptures just speak of his word and how it ties in with rejoicing. So let me do this. I have a list of the scriptures that follow. I don't think we'll look at all of them. And I've actually made it longer than I thought I would make it. Let's just read them, I guess, as we go along. Let's go to chapter 2 and verse 2. Philippians, I'm sorry. The rest of these will probably be in Philippians. I'm just showing you the usage of these words. I think I've covered all 18 of them here, but when you look at these, I believe in this particular, look at it from this perspective, I think. And that is what the book of Philippians is teaching. I mean, there's a lot here. I thought it wasn't that much. It's not that big of a book. But chapter 2 is very important. It speaks of Christ and the mind of Christ. And what was accomplished, and what he had accomplished, and so forth. Chapter 3 gets into this idea of the prize, and so forth. And so, here, let's read a few verses here real quickly. Chapter 2, verse 2, let me start in verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy. Fulfill my joy. That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And that's the same mind, Paul says in verse 5, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So that's the mind. The many minds we find in scriptures, that one ties in with the mind that was in Christ Jesus. And Paul was saying, fulfill my joy. Speaking to those people, I believe he said. Okay, so chapter 2, verse 16. Holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. So let me back up a little bit here.
This, I believe Paul is speaking of Timothy. And I'm looking here to confirm that. Sorry. No, I'm sorry. This is the Philippians. This goes along with what I was talking about a moment ago. We said, here's Paul's salvation. Here's the believer's salvation. Now, what do we say? What does he say here? And once again, I'm looking desperately for the word salvation here. Let's see. What does verse 16 say? That's not it. Okay, so there's a verse here that speaks of salvation. And apologize. Let somebody's give me a name. Verse 17 is joy. It's Abiyah. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Anyway, let's move forward. Sorry, I think I'm looking for...
2:12 has salvation, right?
Okay, 2:12. Here we go. Whose salvation is this? Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. Don't work for it. Work it out with fear and trembling. So, just keep that in mind. There's three verses in this part of the scriptures that speak of salvation, and it is also in association with a prize and what you're going to do about it. So, I mean, if you stop and think about it seriously, and you only got one choice, and that is to go for the prize or to waste everything you've done, nothing in between. I think for years I've always didn't think much about this in that respect, and that was, well, you know, this isn't the easiest thing in the world to go for this prize. And so maybe there is something in between, but I can't find anything. So anyway, this is, once again, speaks of that word salvation there, which is associated with that context that we just mentioned there. Verse 16, 17, and 18. Holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. So, there's a lot of rejoicings that isn't just for us to keep. It's to share. And we should be rejoicing and joying in fellow believers and how the Lord is working in their lives. Verses 19 through 30, I'm going to, actually the verse 28, I believe. In verse 28 of chapter 2, I sent him, here he's speaking of Epaphroditus, I think. He said, I sent him therefore the more carefully that when ye, so he almost died, he tells us in this passage, and Epaphroditus did. When ye see him again, you may rejoice. Once again, here people are rejoicing for the fact that someone else did something. And then that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ he was near unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Once again, speaking about service, what we personally are to do and what we're to do about it. Real quickly, chapters 3, 1 and 3. I'll just read these quickly. Verse 3. Or chapter 1, chapter 3. Verse 1, chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcised which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Chapter 4, verse 1, the last three verses, these are the last three places this occurs. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. These people was Paul's, not only his joy, but here it's in reference to the crown, the prize, or the benefit that comes from doing that. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And then we have a little bit of problem there at Philippi, and a couple of people who weren't getting along. And so Paul says, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Some of the, probably the most read scriptures that deal with rejoicing is right here. And the answers to it too. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation, your gentleness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, number one. Supplication, number two. Definitely number three, with thanksgiving. Uh-oh, there goes the hard part. I've got to be thankful about some of these things. Thank you, Lord. Let your request be made known unto God. And finally, in verse 10 of this chapter, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. So he speaks of this passage here speaks of how they had benefited Paul, and he's rejoicing in that. So one thing we get from this, joy is for sharing. And sharing with particularly fellow members of this hope and calling that we have. I apologize for Jim and some of that stuff together here at the end. And there were a few more verses we could read, but I think we maybe got a little bit of a start on the subject. And let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what we have in Christ. And we thank you so much for our friends and our brethren in Christ. And we want to rejoice together. Rejoice about what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished and how He came in the flesh and so many things were happened at that time. Thank you so much for reaching everyone here. We ask your hand and blessing upon each one, and ask that you help us to understand how to share with each other and rejoice together. These things we thank you in the name of our Lord Christ Jesus. Amen.